The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Dr. Scott Youngkin for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Health Issues. For the next half hour, I'm going to be reading from the Mayo Clinic Health Letter and also from AARP Newsletter. And what I'm going to do to start with is to finish up the special report entitled Heart Failure Recovery from the Mayo Clinic Health Letter. You'll remember that we went over some important information about heart failure, and now I'm going to talk about drug therapy. One big difference between treatment of a weakened heart, which you'll remember is called HFREF, and a stiffened heart, which is called HFPEF, is the choice of drug therapy. With HFREF, which is the weakened heart, several drugs can improve heart function, slow damage to the heart, and improve lifespan. Drugs don't have the same effect on HFPEF, which is the stiffened heart, in which lowering blood pressure and reducing fluid retention are the key goals of drug therapy. Depending on your symptoms, you might take one or more medications prescribed by your doctor. These include ACE inhibitors. The other name for ACE inhibitors is angiotensin converting enzyme inhibitors. These help people with heart failure live longer and feel better. ACE inhibitors work to relax blood vessels, lowering blood pressure, improving blood flow, and decreasing workload on the heart. Examples are brand name Vasotec, brand name Zestril, and brand name Lotensin. The generic names for these drugs are enalapril, lisinopril, and benazepril. Also, ACE2 inhibitors, or ARBs. These include brand name Cozaar and brand name Diovan. The generic names are Losartan and Valsartan. They have many of the same benefits as ACE inhibitors and can be an alternative to them. Another drug that may be prescribed are angiotensin receptor neprilysin inhibitors. Sacubitril valsartan, also called Entresto, is a relatively new drug that's typically used in place of an ACE inhibitor or ARB for people with HFREF. It's associated with lower risks of hospitalization and death and is often used in conjunction with beta blockers or aldosterone antagonists. However, it has shown lower success rates in treating black people with HFREF. Researchers don't really understand why there's a difference in response by race. Beta blockers. If you have HFREF, this class of drugs slows your heart rate, reduces blood pressure, and may limit or reverse some of the damage to your heart. Examples include brand name Coreg and brand named Toprol XL. The generic names are carvedilol, metoprolol succinate, and bisoprolol. These medications reduce the risk of some abnormal heart rhythms and lessen your chance of dying suddenly. Beta blockers may reduce signs and symptoms of heart failure, improve heart function, and help you to live longer. Diuretics. Often called water pills, diuretics may make you urinate more frequently and keep fluid from collecting in your body. Diuretics include the brand name Lasix. The generic name is furosemide, and also reduce fluid buildup in your lungs so you can breathe more easily. Because diuretics make your body lose electrolyte minerals like potassium, your doctor may prescribe supplements to replace these minerals. If you're taking a diuretic, your doctor will probably monitor blood chemistries through regular blood tests. Another important drug are the aldosterone antagonists, which include spironolactone and eplerenone. These have brand names aldactone and Inspra. These are potassium-sparing diuretics with additional properties that may help people with severe HFREF live longer. Unlike some other diuretics, spironolactone and eplerenone can raise the level of potassium in your body to dangerous levels. Talk to your doctor if increased potassium is a concern. You may need to have your blood chemistry monitored and learn to modify your intake of high potassium foods. Digoxin. This drug, also called digitalis, increases the strength of your heart muscle contractions. It also tends to slow the heartbeat. Digoxin, which has the brand name Lanoxin, reduces symptoms in people with HFREF. It's often used for heart rhythm problems like atrial fibrillation. But dosing can be challenging, and elevated blood levels can cause abnormal heart rhythms, especially in those with poor kidney function. You're probably going to need to take two or more medications to treat heart failure. Your doctor may prescribe other heart medications as well, like nitrates for chest pain, a statin to lower cholesterol, or clot-reducing medications to help prevent blood clots, along with heart failure medication. Your doctor may need to adjust your doses frequently, especially when you've just started a new medication or when your condition is changing. Related to drug therapy is an article entitled, "Be in Control of Your Medications." When you have heart failure, you're going to need to take medications, most likely every day for the rest of your life. Work with your doctor and pharmacist on a system that ensures you're consistently taking the right drugs and the right dose at the right times. One study of older adults with heart failure found a massive gap between their perceived ability to stick to medication schedules and their actual ability to do so. The consequences can be severe. To ensure you're on the right track, follow these guidelines. Plan ahead so you don't run out. Find out from your insurance company or medical provider how far in advance you can refill your prescriptions. Many companies will let you refill at least 1 week before you run out. Others may let you refill sooner. Always check for accuracy. Either at the pharmacy counter or your kitchen counter, make sure you're given the correct medications at the correct dose. If something looks wrong, talk to your pharmacist right away. Understand target dose. This refers to the dose of a drug that has the greatest benefit in clinical trials. You're probably not going to start out at the target dose right away. You may need to gradually build up the dose, which sometimes takes weeks or months. Store drugs properly. If your drugs are in pill form, keep them in a closed container at room temperature, away from heat and direct light, and out of the reach of pets and children. Do not store medications in the bathroom or in humid areas. Ask your pharmacist about safe storage of liquid medications. Some need to be refrigerated. Others can be kept at room temperature. Set a routine. Keep a list of all the drugs you take, including how much and how often. Update it as your prescriptions change. Try to make the same drugs at the same time daily, such as just after breakfast or before you brush your teeth. Use a pillbox with the right medications in each day's slot. Set reminders. An alarm on your smartphone or an alert on your calendar works well, as do visual reminders like sticky notes on your bedroom mirror or a red ribbon tied to your purse or to the refrigerator door handle. It turns out that drugs are not the only treatment option for heart failure. In addition to lifestyle improvements and medications, other types of therapies are available for heart failure. New methods may become possible as research continues. As with the other methods for maintaining heart failure, your team will work with you to determine whether you may benefit from any of the available options. Your plan of care may include an implantable cardioverter defibrillator, also called an ICD. These are devices that sense life-threatening heart rhythms and send an electric shock directly to the heart to restore normal rhythm. They include wires placed in your heart and attached to a small device implanted under the skin in your chest wall. The ICD monitors your heart rhythm at all times and works as a pacemaker when your heart rate is slow. When fast rhythms occur, the ICD treats the rhythm with a special type of therapy, including special pacing, an electric shock, or both. The ICD does not improve heart function or heart failure symptoms, but it protects you from dying suddenly due to an abnormal heart rhythm. The next treatment is cardiac resynchronization therapy, CRT, which is also called biventricular pacing. If the condition causing your heart failure has damaged the electrical tissue in your heart, this damage may interfere with your heart's ability to pump in a coordinated manner. In this case, you may benefit from CRT. This therapy involves the use of a special pacemaker, alone or in combination with an ICD, which remember is the implantable cardioverter defibrillator, to help your heart pump more efficiently. The therapy is also called biventricular pacing because the CRT device uses leads in both ventricles. In people with a very abnormal conduction of electricity through the heart, this device can improve heart function and heart failure symptoms. Your doctor may recommend procedures to treat the problems that can cause or worsen heart failure, including heart catheterization with balloon dilatation and stent placement. Also called angioplasty, this procedure is used to open clogged heart arteries and involves temporarily inserting and blowing up a tiny balloon where your artery is clogged to help widen the artery. Stents are tubes placed inside the artery to keep it from narrowing and restricting blood flow. Another possible treatment is coronary artery bypass surgery. If severely blocked arteries are contributing to your heart failure, your doctor may recommend coronary artery bypass surgery. In this procedure, blood vessels taken from your leg, arm, or chest bypass a blocked artery in your heart to allow blood to flow through your heart more freely. Heart valve repair or replacement. If a faulty heart valve causes or worsens your heart failure, your doctor may recommend repairing or replacing the valve during open heart surgery or possibly during a heart catheterization procedure. Treatment of heart rhythm problems. People with heart failure can develop abnormal heart rhythms like atrial fibrillation, which may be treated with medications or with procedures like catheter ablation. A catheter ablation procedure involves guiding surgical catheters through blood vessels into the heart. The catheter tip delivers special energy to modify the heart tissue and stop abnormal heart rhythms. Finally, there's a brief article entitled Know Your Zone, and this refers to treatment of heart failure and the instructions your doctor may give you. If you are in the green zone, that means you're stable. It means you're feeling well, you have no shortness of breath, no swelling, and stable weight. If you're in the green zone, your doctor will probably tell you to continue to follow your health care plan. It's working well. Next is the yellow zone. This is the caution zone. In the yellow zone, you're not feeling well. Your weight's up 2 to 3 pounds in one day or 5 pounds over baseline. You have noticeable swelling or bloating. You have more difficulty breathing, especially with activity or at night. Alternatively, your weight may be down 2 to 3 pounds below baseline with new or worsened lightheadedness and dizziness. What do you do when you're in the caution zone? Well, you check and make sure you're following the care plan. You follow your sodium intake plan. You follow your fluid intake plan. And call your doctor or nurse if symptoms don't improve after a day or two. Of course, the concern is if you don't call your doctor or nurse, your symptoms may get worse. And in fact, you may go into the red zone, which is also called alert. In the red zone, you have severe worsening shortness of breath, severe worsening chest pain or heaviness, and fainting. If you're in the red zone, you need to seek emergency help by calling 911 or your local emergency number or by going to an emergency room. And that completes the special report from the Mayo Clinic on heart failure recovery. Now I'm going to turn to an article from AARP's Health Conditions newsletter. It's called 6 Reasons You're Always Tired. What could be causing your fatigue and how to fight it by Beth Howard. David Levine feels tired a lot and laments how he rarely makes it to the end of a movie. The 68-year-old Manhattan journalist has a pretty good idea why. A night in the sleep lab showed he had borderline sleep apnea. But certain medications I take, especially Lipitor, make me even more tired, he says. I went off it for 2 months and I felt a lot better. Levine is in good company. Research suggests that fatigue, another name for this is anergia, A-N-E-R-G-I-A, in medical lingo, runs as high as 50% in people 65 and older, compared with rates in the general population, which range from 10 to 25%. Yet fatigue is not a natural consequence of aging, Barbara Resnick, co-director of the Biology and Behavior Across the Lifespan Organized Research Center at the University of Maryland School of Nursing, says. It's more related to the changes that occur due to age and commonly associated diseases. Fatigue is common when you're fighting any kind of illness, from infections to autoimmune disorders. Some treatments, like chemotherapy, are notoriously exhausting. And of course, fatigue is a symptom of COVID-19, although it's usually accompanied by more telling signs like fevers and chills, even in minor cases of the disease caused by the coronavirus. Beyond that, all of us feel tired some of the time, says Dr. Suzanne Salomon, assistant professor of geriatric medicine and primary care at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center in Boston. Usually it goes away either with sleep or time. But if unexplained fatigue continues for more than a few weeks, it's time to figure out what's causing it. Here are some of the likely suspects. Keep in mind, though, that more than one culprit may be responsible. The first is your medications are sapping your energy. Older adults take a lot of medications, and a lot of those medications tend to make people feel tired, explains Brenda Windemuth, director of the Adult Gerontology Primary Care Nurse Practitioner Program at the University of Maryland School of Nursing. Chief among these are certain antidepressants, anti-anxiety drugs, sedatives, antihistamines, steroids, blood pressure medicines, and cholesterol medicines. Antipsychotics, pain medications, seizure drugs, and chemotherapy also stir up trouble. Others, like diuretics, contribute to exhaustion by disturbing your sleep. Not all drugs cause the same effects in people, Salomon says. If a person started a new medication and they notice fatigue, they should report this to their doctor. Sometimes just moving the drug to the evening or lowering the dose can help. Sometimes you need to change to a different medication. She recommends always bringing all your medications, prescription and over-the-counter, to your office visits so your doctor can check doses and duplicates. Levine was able to take a lower dose of his cholesterol drug and still get its benefits. Although he still feels somewhat tired, he decided to stay on it. The trade-off is worth it, he says. I'm a tennis player, and I don't want to drop dead on the court. 2. Your sleep hygiene may need improvement. And again, this is the 6 reasons why you're always tired. Many of us simply aren't getting enough slumber and are paying the price the next day. Poor sleep habits are often to blame. If you're lying in bed and can't fall asleep, get up and do something until you feel tired, then go back and try again. The other really big mistake people make is they expect to lie around all day and then be able to sleep at night. You only want to spend time in bed when it's sleep time. Some people like to control the world from their bed. Other advice: maintain a regular sleep pattern and avoid alcohol at night. Consider keeping a sleep diary to help you identify factors like foods, drinks, and medicines that may be keeping you from solid slumber. Keep in mind that as you get older, you may not require the 7 to 9 hours you used to, Windemuth says. Obstructive sleep apnea is another culprit. Patients experience as many as 30 awakenings an hour when the soft tissues of the throat relax and obstruct the airway during sleep. As a result, they feel exhausted the next day. Loud snoring is a clue. Spending the night in a sleep lab can confirm the diagnosis. The standard treatment, a continuous positive air pressure machine, or CPAP, involves wearing a mask over the nose to force air into the throat and keep the airways open. Number 3 is you're missing key nutrients. People over 50 are more likely to experience nutrient deficiencies, especially vitamin B12 and D, iron and folic acid, that cause fatigue. If your doctor suspects a deficiency, she'll send you for a blood test, and you may need a supplement. Number 4 is you're anemic. This means your blood has too few red blood cells, or those cells have too little hemoglobin, which transports oxygen through the bloodstream. The result is fatigue. A simple blood test provides a diagnosis, after which your physician will investigate possible reasons for the anemia and may put you on iron pills. There's 3 main reasons older adults become anemic. Kidney disease is one. If your kidneys aren't working properly, they may not be able to help your body make the red blood cells it needs. It can also be due to blood loss from somewhere, usually along the gastrointestinal tract. Or it might be a bone marrow problem, which could be due to a malignancy. Number 5 is you have a heart or pulmonary problem. cardiac issues, including heart failure, coronary artery disease, valvular heart disease, asthma, and COPD, are among the most common causes of fatigue in older people. Heart disease can cause the heart to pump blood less efficiently and fluid to build up in the lungs. This, in turn, results in shortness of breath and less oxygen supply to the heart and lungs. So be sure to follow your doctor's orders when it comes to treatment. Finally, number six is you're anxious or depressed. Depression, being alone, and other psychosocial issues are a huge factor in older people, Wendemuth says. People are losing friends and spouses. They're being uprooted from their homes or going into assisted living. That can lead to fatigue. Antidepressant medications are sometimes the answer. We also encourage people to go out, become more involved, and find things they really enjoy doing, Wendemuth adds. Paradoxically, exercise can make a huge difference. The best thing for fatigue is physical activity, no matter what the underlying problem, Resnick says. The goal should be 30 minutes daily of moderate level activity. Playing tennis has been a lifesaver for Levine, helping him to keep up his energy level. If I exercise in the afternoon, I feel better, he says. Well, it looks like we've run out of time for today's episode of Health Issues. Be sure to listen next time. I sure hope you enjoyed it. I'm Dr. Scott Youngkin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Health Issues is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. That's ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.